look at our pictures. I'd like to read. It's Jonah we've come to. Jonah, the man. The first submarine man. And if you have trouble finding him, he's in the Bible, and if you look at the index, it'll probably tell you what page it's on. It's Jonah chapter 1. He's after Amos and Obadiah. And he's before Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, of course. Right, Jonah chapter 1. Last week we looked at the background to it. The matter of Jonah and the historical figure that he is. We looked at Nineveh, a little bit about that, and the terrible place that it was. And we considered what kind of fish it might have been. There are various types of large fish. Whales are a possible option. Some whales don't eat big things, they eat little things called krill. But there are some whales, as I mentioned, the sperm whale, that could eat more than twice of you. So that's not a problem. We looked at Jesus and his words about Jonah, so that Jonah's not a story, it's not a fairy story, it's not made up, it's not a parable, it's real. Yes, Jesus says the men of Nineveh will rise at the end of time and condemn the generation that Jesus was speaking to, because they believed when the message came that the people of Jesus' day rejected Jesus. So the men of Nineveh are real. I assume that Jonah that spoke to them is real as well. But let's read the start of the story. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up, call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, and so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it was my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Praise the Lord.
Let's have a look here. What we got? We'll shrink that. And we'll try this one. There we are.
Well, it's about choices to start with, isn't it? How do you make choices? Well, Jonah had some choices to make because God had spoken to him. And when God works in our lives, there's always a decision that we need to make. We do what he wants, or we do what we want quite often. So, Jonah, you've got a choice. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Right, so let's have our next one, please. Right, there it is. We said that Jonah lived around about 800 BC. That's quite a long time ago. And it was before Nineveh had really been risen to be a great power. Before the Assyrian power came into real position. But so Jonah was prophesying about what was going to happen. Okay, God bless. Right, so we'd like to move on to that one. So he was told, go to that great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Well, God could see what they were doing now, and he could see what they would be later on, I guess, as well. And they were, as I mentioned last time, really vicious people. The best we can compare them to is the present-day ISIS lot. Just the same. Same area, Mosul, in Iraq, as Nineveh was then. And terrible, terribly violent people. And Jonah has been told that's where he's to go. Well, the decision was for Jonah. Let's have a look. Right, now then, God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell them, I have seen how badly they are behaving, and I'm going to deal with them. Right, okay. Now then, we read that Jonah ran away, but just imagine that God put you in that spot. He might do. In the sense that he tells you to go and share the gospel with somebody who's been a wicked man, a wicked person. That's what's happening. Yes. And that's what's happening in Whitemore this week. They're going to share the gospel with people who are not the nicest of people. They are not in there for being good boys. And would you be willing to do that? Or if you were sent into some a really dangerous situation. There are some parts of the world or some parts of the country where...
March Marketplace,
right. Go there and tell somebody about God. And more than that, you're to tell them that God's a judge who is not pleased with the way that they're carrying on. What's the chances that you might bottle out too?
Yes, exactly.
So don't be too hard on Jonah. Jonah had got an idea of what Nineveh was like, and he's been sent to the lion's den, literally, to tell them, game is up. God's going to deal with them. So Jonah, well, he decides not to go. That was his decision. Right, so let's move on. Let's have a look. The decision was, which way shall I go? Go home, go to Tarshish, or go to Nineveh? Well, staying at home's no good, because God was getting at him there, wasn't it? That's when God spoke to him. So home's not an option. Nineveh, well, maybe not. So the only option now is Tarshish. So let's have a look at the map. Tarshish, as I mentioned last time, is at the end of the world. Remember, I said that nobody knows what's beyond here. America had not been discovered and would not be discovered for 1,000 years. Right, so, well, not by our lot anyway. So, that's the end of the world. So Jonah is going to get as far away from God as he possibly can. Unfortunately, he knows, and we know, the fact of God's omnipresence. That's a big word for a big God, which means he's everywhere. Right, so Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. So that's his decision. That's where I'm going, not to Nineveh, but to Tarshish. Right, so which way did he go? To Tarshish. But you don't get to Tarshish just by walking, because there's a lot of water between you and Tarshish. So you have to go down to the port of Joppa. Right, so he goes down to the port on the Mediterranean part here, and he's going to catch a ship all the way to there. That's quite a long journey, right? And it says, he went down to Joppa, please. So there you are. Jonah, it says, he went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for the port. Now, I want to look this morning, not just at Jonah, but at the men as well, and how they react in their situations. But this, think of Jonah, he's the believer. He is a believer. Believes in God. Knows the God of Israel, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, of course. And he goes down to the port. And he thinks, should I have gone or shouldn't I have run away? Right? And he gets to the port there and he sees the notice board, ships sailing today, one bound for Tarshish with spare places. He looks at it and he thinks, it's guidance! This must be what God wants me to do. Right, Christians, you can be so fooled by your own folly. Yeah? You know, you think you're getting guidance, it's not guidance at all. Right? But in a way it was guidance, because he's just going to join the submarine class. But he doesn't know that yet. Right? So here comes his ship, bound for Tarshish. He pays the fare, goes on board, and sails for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Not a clever idea. Brothers and sisters, if God's speaking to you and he's got you on his books, which he has, don't try running away.
Did he know that God would follow him? No.
Well, probably, but when you're sinning, you do stupid things.
Yeah.
When you're frightened,
too. When you're frightened, too,
possibly. Yes. Really scared. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Having to go to the answers, people.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So he catches his number one boat and sets off. Right. So and then it says he ran away to flee from the Lord. Next week. So and then it says, and the Lord sent. Oh yes. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm that the ship threatened to break up. Well, would God do something like that?
Yes.
Would he make your life uncomfortable? Yes. Would he give you problems?
Yes.
That's not nice, is it? Well, there are two things. It's punishment for your disobedience, but it's also getting you to start thinking his way. And God does that because he loves you. And he also loves the people he wants to send Jonah to. And he also loves the people on the boat. And the one thing that's going to shake these sailors out of their paganism is supernatural power that only God can deliver. They're going to see some. They've just started to experience it. This was a violent storm. Well, the Mediterranean does have its violent storms. There was one 1,000 or so years later during the time of Acts of the Apostles, when Paul was in the boat then, remember that? And that storm turned up because they disobeyed what Paul had said from God. So God can stir up the Mediterranean, you'll discover that, yes? He can stir up plenty of places. So the Lord sent the storm and the sailors were really worried. Now if the sailors are worried, this must be a bad storm. Is that right, Brian?
Yeah.
Sailors are weather-hardened guys. They're used to rough weather. This is one terrible storm. So it says the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. Isn't that interesting? There aren't any atheists in a storm like this. Isn't that funny? Yeah. Right. God's beginning to shake, but they're calling out to their own God. Yes. And what's the problem with calling out to your own God? He's not going to answer. Because he ain't there. Right? So that's the problem, that they call out to their own God. And then what do? They throw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship so that it's less easy to sink. So they dump all their cargo, they've got it all going overboard. Right? You're too fast for me there, Brian. That's all right, don't worry. You're okay. Right. So they dump it all overboard. So they carry on. Right? But before we get to this, it says, but Jonah had gone below the deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. How on earth can he sleep in a storm? Because he knows that he's obeying God now. He got the ship. He was going. I don't know what was in his mind at the time, but he managed to really sleep through it, which is quite something. But there's a terrible, terrible lesson for us. Yeah? Christian, believer, Jonah, just like him, we are on a ship, this world, that is sinking.
Yes.
Right? People are going down. If we're not careful, they are going down, actually, yes. And what are we doing about it? Let them go. We'll sleep. Well, sad to say, the church should not be asleep. It should be telling the news of God's mercy and God's judgments, of course. Well, he's asleep. But the captain comes down. captain says, there's one missing out here. So he went down to him and said, how can you sleep? Good question. Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish. Right. Interesting. Good theory. What's the captain's idea is, if you get as many people calling on as many gods as you possibly can, something might work. Right. Well, good theory. Yeah, just unfortunately there aren't many gods around. You didn't try, can you? But he's got the right guy here, Jonah. Call on your God, maybe we won't perish. So they're fearful for their lives. Right. Now then, when they get into such a terrible state, and it looks as bad as it can get, it says, then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. Isn't that interesting? You've always got to find somebody to blame, you know. It's always somebody else. You notice that? Right? Let's find out who is responsible, meaning it's not me, must be somebody else. Right, so they want to blame somebody, yeah, when all things go wrong. And who usually gets the blame? God gets the blame quite often. Yeah? It's all your fault, God. Yeah. If I hadn't been going down the road the wrong way and doing the wrong things, it wouldn't have happened. But it's your fault. No. So they say they'll draw lots, right? Cast the lots. They get some, it's a short straw thing, isn't it? Yeah? They draw lots. And they all have a little go, pull out the straw. And who gets the short one?
Jonah.
Well, Jonah went in for it. He must have thought, I've got good chances here, 200-1, they won't find me out. Is that right? Because that was about how many were on board, I suppose, about 200. 200-1's good odds, isn't it? Of not getting caught. Could have got somebody else blamed. Right? Get away with it. Christian, will you get away with it? God is in charge of statistics. Right? He can fix the odds, you know. Right? I'm not saying you pray for your lotteries or whatever else, yeah? Right? But God is in charge of statistics. What looks like chance, when God's involved, you can forget chance. I promise you, they could have all been long straws in that box. And Jonah has still got a short one. Because God would have cut it before he came out. Right? So, Jonah, it's you, boy. Right. So, the lot were cast, and the lot fell on Jonah. And the lot are looking at him now, of course. And they ask him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? And from what people are you? That's a lot of questions, isn't it? What have you done? What is it all about? Right. And then Jonah answers this. Listen to this. This is quite... You know, when you put on the spot, do you say, I'm a believer? Yeah, well, he says, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Right? I don't think they'd ever heard about this one before. All their gods were little gods. Right? Now, Jonah is one who worships, and he's told them before, yeah, worships the God who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in it. That's the big one. In fact, that's the only one. Right? So, Jonah is running away from this one. And it says, they were terrified when he told them that. What have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them so. Now think about it. What, when they ask him, what have you done? What do they expect him to answer? What do you think they were expecting as an answer?
Nothing.
Maybe murdered somebody. Yeah. Maybe... poisoned the king or something like that. Or done some terrible, terrible crime. Right? What have you done? Right? You've murdered somebody, have you? You've done something like that. You're a wicked man. And Jonah says, I've run away from God. That's all I've done. Is that all?
Disobedience.
That is disobedience, dear friends. And you say, whoa, that's a lot of reaction from God. For just a little thing like disobedience, isn't it? Well, remember, disobedience ruined the world when Adam took the fruit. Disobedience, again, it's not the disobedience itself, it's who you're disobeying that makes it serious, right? Let me give you an example. If I tell you to go out the room, yeah, you say, well, I shan't be bothered, right? But supposing a police officer comes in and says, go out the room, if you disobey him, you're in big trouble, right? If God says, go out the room, and you disobey him, you are in big trouble. Jonah has disobeyed God. They are going to learn, these guys are going to learn, that you don't disobey God and get away with it. I hope you understand that. Because Christian, if you think you're on a bit of elastic, forget it. Yeah? You're on a rope, tight. God's watching you. Right? He loves you, but as the father, Jonah, you're going to find out you don't get away with anything. Right, so, what have you done? I'm running away, he said. Now then, the sea was getting rougher and rougher. It's getting worse, worse and worse. And so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Well, they found out who's to blame. Jonah admits it. Who's to blame? What should we do with the person who's to blame in order to sort out the problem? Right. And Jonah's reply is, pick me up and throw me into the sea. I can imagine they were rather shocked at that. Yes. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Why does Jonah say that?
He knows that God's after him.
The only way to get rid of God is to commit suicide. Right? Yeah. Obviously he's caught me on the boat, so now I'll get out of his way, I'll jump overboard, and that's the end of me, and it'll be alright for them. They won't have to suffer the aggravation, right? So, maybe that's what he thought, I don't know. Now, will you escape God if you commit suicide?
No.
Don't worry.
No?
No? It's a sin, of course, but you're not going to get away with it. Right? So, he says, if you do it, the sea will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Right, now Jonah's got the point now, hasn't he? The reason these blokes are in trouble is because of him. Now, remember again, brother and sister, what you do doesn't just affect you, it can affect other people as well. Your kids, your family, your environment. Right? You as a Christian can have a big influence. Jesus says, pray when things come, problems. Yeah, pray, because when you pray, God may spare the place because of that. Right? So, Jonah, you're causing a lot of grief for these sailors because you ran away from God. So, throw me overboard. Right. So then, there. It says, thank you, Brian. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land. The men did their best to row back to land. But they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. The men did their best. Now then, just think about it. What does the non-believer do when they're confronted by God? I mean, they're doing it out of kindness to Jonah, but I'm saying these are people who don't know God yet. Right? What do you do when you get problems when you're a non-believer? You try to sort it out yourself. Row, man, row! Let's do our bit to get out of it. They did their best to get out of trouble. And what happened? Has God made it worse? He's not nice, is he? Yes, he is. Because the one thing God wants to get you out of is a DIY salvation. Because if you have a DIY salvation, like a lot of DIY projects, they're Heath Robinson jobs. They're not going to last. They won't face the trial. Yeah? You know what I mean? Do it yourself's not going to get you through. So, back up your rowing, and start having to trust in what God is going to do. So, the sea grows wilder than before. I think they got the message. This God is not going to let us get away with this. We're going to have to dump him. Right? Then they cried out to the Lord. O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. Wow. What are these pagans doing now? They're praying to the real God. Wow. That's a turn up for the books. Right? So, your problems can make you drive you to the Lord, which is wonderful. I'm not wishing problems on you, mind you, but that's how it goes. They did their best, but it wasn't going to happen because God is after them. God's after these sailors, you know, as well as Jonah. It's amazing how God can put so many things together in one thing, isn't it? So, let's have a look. Next, please. So there he is, ready for the jump. Right, it says they threw Jonah overboard. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, And the raging sea grew calm. Turn it over, please. There you are. The raging sea grew calm. Wow, that's quite amazing, isn't it? These sailors are used to weather. They know storms just don't disappear like that. Right? What they have just witnessed is something supernatural. It's above nature. Right? They have experienced, when they prayed to God, what did they see was an instant answer. Right? That God had mercy on them and the sea was calm. They had just been rescued. They're going to get back to land safe and sound. They know it. God has had mercy on them when they asked him for mercy. Isn't that amazing? What a message, right? What about this dear, well then it says this. Then, at this, the men greatly feared the Lord. Wow. They've just had an encounter with the one and only God, the real one. Right? They feared God. This is what we call respect. I suppose you could use that word, yeah? They were full of respect for this God, who made the heavens and the sea and the land and all that's in it. Right? They greatly feared the Lord. And it says this, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Isn't that interesting? The ships become a church.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? They offer a sacrifice to God. They're worshipping the living God now. They first prayed, now they're worshipping. And then he says they made vows. What sort of vows do you think they'd say?
Promise to serve you.
Right, now, they're not like what you make when you make vows when you're in trouble. Yeah. Oh Lord, get me out of this mess and I'll do this and I'll do that. I did that. I used to make deals with God before I was a Christian, you know. Oh Lord, if you do this for me, it was usually some benefit I wanted, you know. If you do this for me, I'll do this. Right? I'll say my prayers. Fancy that. Isn't that wonderful? Really generous of me doing the deal with God. And it's only he got me off the planet, but he didn't, thankfully. Right? They're not making deals. They've been rescued. They know they're going to get back to that. So it's not, if you do this for us, Lord, I'll say my prayers, I'll worship you. No. It says they're making vows. They're saying, Lord, we've discovered you are God. You're our God from now on. I suspect that's what their vows are. No other gods, no other worship. You're it from now on. Right? So we've got 200 down already, haven't we?
Yeah.
On the record. Well done, Jonah. Wonderful. What a missionary this man is.
Yes.
Right? Mind you, this one has to suffer for it, unlike some people. He's not blowing bubbles, well, he's blowing bubbles, isn't he? Yes, he's blowing bubbles, is Jonah. Right, last one. It says, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Wonderful, eh? Right, so, Jonah thought he got away. I don't know if he did, but, yeah. And what does the Lord go and do? He jumps out of the water. He's out of the frying pan into the fire. This is, right? Literally almost, yeah? Right? He's swallowed by some great fish that the Lord has prepared. Right? How did the Lord prepare the fish?
Right place.
So the right place at the right time with the right mouth and the right digestive juices and everything else. Yeah. Jonah's hotel is a submarine. Wonderful.
Could he just say, right, I'm making a big fish for Jonah?
He could have made a big fish. Yeah. No, modified a fish, yeah.
Fish,
I don't know.
Hotel in it.
Yeah, but could have not, yes. So Jonah is inside the fish 3 days and three nights. That's the point, yes? Jonah is now a captive. Right. And he's gonna go further into the Mediterranean than he intended. Wonderful. Well, we're going to find out next time what he does while he's in the fish. But I asked this question last time. People say, you know, it's impossible for a man to survive in the fish for 3 days and three nights. And I suggested it's possible. God could maintain someone without oxygen for as long as he likes. Not a problem. Or he could have got the fish to swallow some air so that Jonah's got an air bubble to last him out. Or, and this is my suggestion, is Jonah probably did suffocate eventually inside the fish. And God resurrected him. Right? And the reason I may be wrong. It's the fact that Jonah is buried. He's definitely buried, isn't he? Okay? And Jonah's going to come out of his tomb. And Jesus says, when he was speaking to the people of his time, you want a sign? The only sign you're going to get is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Just as Jonah was in the whale of the fish's belly 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days, 3 nights. So for this period of time, there's going to be a dead man rise again. That's the message that the nation is going to get. If you won't believe that, you won't believe anything. Right? Because that is the real key thing for salvation. Right? And Jonah, well, Jonah's going to have to be a living example, and a dying example of what was going to happen to Jesus. Right? So Jonah's an important fellow. Now then, last of all, just a little message. Right? Jonah preached the message to the sailors, and he didn't mean to. Didn't intend to at all. But God has his ways. This world needs to know there's a judgment day coming. The sailors were nearer it than they thought they were. Right? There's a judgment day coming. And God is willing to forgive those who repent. Isn't that amazing? No DIY. No do-it-yourself salvation. God is willing to forgive those who say, Lord, I've messed up. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Make me yours. Have mercy on me. He will. That's staggering. Well, I don't know about you, but when Jonah says, I worship the God of heaven, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea, that's a big God. But when you hear about a God who's willing to forgive sinners who've been rebellious all their lives, that's seriously big. That's a heart that you can't measure, I guess. And that's the God that loves you. If you were miserable so-and-so sinners in Nineveh, God wants you to get the message. And God wants the miserable sinners out there to get the message. And he may send you and me to meet people who we wouldn't naturally want to talk to. You know, wouldn't naturally want to share with. But as the Lord helps, he wants you to share. But God's got a judgment day coming. He's not pleased with the sin. That's the fact. But he loves the sinner. And he wants to separate the sinner from his sin in order to save him. And her. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you, Lord, that these awesome events in the people's lives made a big difference to them. And Lord, thank you that you've still got the same message for us. You're a God who is angry at sin. Lord, will discipline your children when they disobey. And yet, Lord, will use even those things to show mercy to those that need to know. Father, thank you. Thank you, you're a great, great big God who's willing to show mercy to us. Father, help us to trust you. And thank you, Lord, we have the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jesus died and rose again. And he died for our sins. Just as Jonah went down to save those sailors, Lord Jesus, you went down to save us. And we bless and praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord.